You are tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more.
Sponsored in part by Replays, Gameware, Movies, and More, and Creative Foundations, employing individuals with disabilities.
Now your hosts, Sam Dunham, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, and Josh Harrison.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Nerd Overload, the show that covers everything in pop and geek culture from Animorphs to Zero Wing. I'm Josh.
I'm Sam.
I'm Cody.
And I'm Samantha.
We got a great show for you today, but as always, we have things we've been checking out this week.
I've been pretty busy this week, as per usual, but I did get a chance to sit down and watch a really old TV show. Do you guys remember Max Headroom?
Yeah.
Vaguely.
Yeah, I was like a baby when it was on TV, but...
Yeah, they put out a DVD set a few years ago, and I bought it and never sat down and watched it. So I watched like the first, you know, half dozen or so episodes, and it's good. It's actually really good. It's not like a wacky comedy. I always thought it was kind of like a comedy thing, you know? Because, you know, Max was a funny guy, right? The robot, the fake robot head,
you know?
No, it's actually like almost like a future crime drama.
It's like a dystopian future thing.
It's like partial dystopia. Yeah. It's really interesting. It's like the world that they live in 10 years would be like the crazy cyberpunk dystopian future. It's like the beginnings of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I mean, the whole deal with Max Headroom as a character is weird because he was created as like an ad guy. It was like for commercials.
So it's like anything in Japan.
Kind of, yeah. But it was so popular that they gave him his own, like, half-hour, like, music video show where he would, like, the head would, like, host.
He was a VJ.
He was a VJ, basically. And then they made a movie on British television, like a made-for-TV movie, explaining the backstory of the character Max Headroom. And people liked that so much, they turned it into a show on Showtime back in the 80s. It was the weirdest thing. And it's interesting to see, you know, how, you know, they kind of faked the whole CGI look. Because it wasn't CGI. It was a heavy, heavy prosthetic, like, makeup for his shoulders and his face. With, like, hand-drawn animated backgrounds to look like, you know.
Like he's on a screen.
Old Tandy, like, splines and stuff. And, no, it's really interesting. It's actually a really, really good series.
Yeah, it sounds cool.
The only thing I know about Max Headroom was... What is that? Where was that at?
Chicago TV hijacking?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that?
I've seen that,
yeah. That's so weird.
It's creepy.
But yeah, in Chicago, in the probably around the same time the show was on, in the 80s, somebody hijacked the local TV station and had a Max Headroom mask on.
Yeah.
And did weird stuff.
Yeah, it was like only for like a minute or something, yeah. Right? But it was, yeah. But it was a big deal back then, yeah. You know?
And then he did it again during an episode of Doctor Who also.
Right, yeah. But no, the show's really interesting, and it's interesting to see Matt Frewer, the actor who played Max, because he plays two characters on it. The whole deal on the show was he was this investigative journalist who broke up some, like, stumbled onto some news that he shouldn't have seen. Like, the whole world is based around television ratings. Like, all the major companies are all, you know, television stations. And he broke some news. He was going to break some news that was going to ruin his own station because, you know, he was, you know...
He believes in, like, justice.
In justice, yeah. So you know, they're chasing him, and he's on a motorcycle, and he gets cracked in the head by one of those, like, arm crossing guard things. And the last thing he says is maximum headroom. In Britain, that's, like, maximum, you know, height or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, crap, what are we going to do? This guy is the face of our, you know, news station, and he's, like, in a coma. What are we going to do? They upload his memories into the computer, and it creates Max Headroom, and that's how he gets the name, because the last thing he saw before he got conked on the head was Max Headroom. And then his character comes back, the main human character. So you see human, you know, Matt Frewer acting with...
Digital.
Basic, practically a cartoon version of himself. It's really interesting, and it's also interesting to see, like... If Frewer, the actor, had, like, come out and started acting, like, 5 years later, he would be Jim Carrey, essentially. It's a lot of very similar, like, faces and voices and stuff like that.
The mannerisms that he did that made him popular here in America.
Very, very similar. It's almost unsettling how similar it is.
Huh.
But no, the show's really good, and like I said, it's, you know, if you like old dystopian future kind of stuff.
And I do. Yeah. It's one of my favorite things is like anachronistic future, cyberpunk futures where stuff that doesn't make sense now, like video phones, like stuff like Blade Runner
like
always has
Total
video
Recall.
Phones and like stuff like cyberpunk futures that don't make sense now.
Well, you know what? There's actually something that's in, that's kind of like that in this. Like the whole big thing that they that he breaks is, you know, this TV company, they wanted to compress 3 minutes worth of commercials into 15 seconds. And it was causing people who didn't move often to, like, build up static electricity and explode.
Oh.
Like, yeah, because they were getting too agitated by the constant thing. But that's happening
was
now.
Was it, like, beamed straight into their brain or something?
Well, no, it's on their TV, but it's, like, you know, it's, like, super fast, like, everything.
Oh, okay.
But they're doing that now with, like, you know, when you TiVo something and you want to fast forward through the commercials, and some commercials have, like, their one, like, ad and, like, their name of their company in like one section through the entire thing, so you're so you're seeing the ad super fast, but you're seeing like that one logo stay in the same spot, so you're still getting the ad.
Mm.
It's the same thing. They called it blipverts on the on Max Headroom, and it's like the exact same thing.
Huh.
It's the weirdest thing, but yeah, it's like they kind of called it a little bit.
Yeah,
just the concept of TV ratings controlling everything is so anachronistic. On top of that, too, in a world where TV is struggling to. Hold on.
Yeah.
Well, you got to think, you know, back in the day, you know, it's like, you know, the 80s and stuff, you know, TV was a big deal.
Yeah.
Unlike now where like cell phones and the internet are our world and TV is kind of taking a backseat. Like TV is slowly going the way of like radio.
Oh, sure. And they actually did something like that over in Britain. This is the last thing
I'll
move on after this. Britain switched over from analog television signals to digital here a couple years ago, like we did here in the States.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought Max Headroom back for those ads. And it's like he's on an old CRT TV, like, you know, sitting like the TV is sitting in a wheelchair and they have like old man makeup over top of the like the
you
jaggedy kind of.
You know what? I think I've seen those.
Yeah. And the whole deal with Max Headroom, his thing was 20 minutes into the future. That's where the show is set. Just barely, just a little bit further into the future than where you're at now. And he makes the joke of the thing that, you know, I was designed 20 minutes in the future. We are now 20 years past that. So, yeah, it's really funny. Like, they have old man Max Headroom being pushed around by, like, an orderly in a wheelchair. It's great.
On an old TV.
On an old TV. It's really great.
It'd be interesting to see a modern-day reboot of Max Headroom.
I could see it as a web series.
I'd almost not want to see that.
Well, I think there's so many advances in technology. It'd just be cool to see how they handle those. It fits in with the theme, I think.
Yeah, but I would like. But you know what? If they were to reboot it, I would still like to see Max and like the prosthetic, like an actual actor in the suit, like digitally, like touch him up a little bit here and there, or make him do different stuff.
Goofy things.
But have the character itself be, you know, the same, like, weird, you know, almost human thing. Anyway, that's it.
I beat Tomb Raider over the weekend.
Oh, nice.
That's cool.
I didn't do a lot of the side stuff, because honestly, a lot of the side tomb raiding and whatnot, like, of these little mini tombs and whatnot around this island in the game, they don't really add too much to the game. Honestly.
No, it's like they just kind of threw him in.
Something to give the reason to call it Tomb Raider.
A lot of games do that now where all the side quests are kind of throwaway, like just annoying fetch quests or time wasters just to pad out the length of the game.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the game's good. I really like it. They do kick the butt out of Laura. I mean, it's nuts.
Yeah, I wish they didn't do that. They way overdo it.
I mean, come on, there's, like, one point where I'm, like, careening down a river just by myself, dodging, like, sharp rocks and fallen trees and stuff, and all of a sudden I'm inside the belly of a old World War II plane, and the cockpit glass is beginning to break. Jeez. It's awful, but it's interesting. The story was good. I mean, there's a part later in the game, it's kind of emotional, and I kind of did get a little teared up a little bit by it. You probably know what I'm talking about, Cody.
I probably didn't get far enough, honestly.
Really? You didn't beat it?
My PlayStation 3 broke.
Oh.
It did the overheat thing where it just died.
Oh, man.
And I haven't bothered to get it fixed yet.
So that's why you haven't been playing your PlayStation?
No.
Wasn't the fact that the Wii U was so great?
No.
It was PlayStation 3.
Yeah, not 4. PlayStation 3.
Okay.
I guess I could get the PlayStation 4 version, but...
I
already own the PlayStation 3 one. It feels dumb to buy it again.
Story was interesting. Ending was really interesting. And then after I beat it, I went and started doing, like, because it lets you, after you beat it, it lets you go continue playing and just go around getting the little bonus stuff you didn't get. And I was like, and I got bored within, like, 2 minutes. I was like, well, I've already beaten the game. I really don't see a point. So I jumped on the multiplayer, and surprisingly enough, there were people playing it.
People still play it. Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, in the multiplayer, there are people playing it. It's really hard. Like, it plays just like the single-player game, but it's online against enemies who don't suck.
Huh.
Because, like, I went through the whole game with a bow and arrow. And
it's the coolest weapon.
I was ruining people. I almost never got into a straight-up gunfight because I was sneaking around and just being real careful and sniping that guy in the head, hitting this wall, make guy look over here, hitting him in the head. I didn't even get all the bow upgrades.
Wow.
Like, I didn't get, like the armor-piercing arrows and stuff, which would have been really useful near the end, because all of a sudden all the enemies are wearing metal plate or samurai armor. It gets ridiculous. Like, all of a sudden, I got to shoot for the head twice. But the multiplayer was the mode I was playing was called, like, Cry for Help or something like that. And you're split up into teams, and each team has their own set of weapons. There's the Solnari, the crazy guys on the island, and then there's the survivors, you know, the other characters. And I was putting their plan, and I'm like level 1, running around with like level 11s, level 24, and then some guy who was max level 60, with a Lara Croft skin, turns the corner on me with a minigun.
Oh,
and I was like, what? And I'm sitting here with my bow and arrow, like, crap.
Suddenly you no longer exist.
Oh, no. My atoms didn't even exist.
Wow.
But the goal was to activate antennas to call for help or kill the survivors and steal their batteries. I mean, it was fun. It's just really hard. Really, really hard. And pretty much you can't turn around without getting killed. Because your life is, it's finite. It seems a little more, it's like you don't have like a life bar. It's pretty much where you get hit and what you get hit with. And it was pretty much just open season on poor little me.
I'm just surprised people still play it.
I know. I blame the fact that it was the free game at the end of April.
Oh, yeah, that's probably why.
The only reason I got it was because I wanted to play the next one. And it turns out to be really good. It's worth its own weight, in my opinion, rather than my OCD-ic nature to I have to play games in a series.
I do that, too. I usually don't. I can't. Except for The Witcher. Which, speaking of which, that's what I've been playing is The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt. Which I've played the other two Witcher games, but I never finished them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're real long. But the new one's really cool. It's kind of more open world than the
other
ones.
Yeah, that's what I was reading.
Graphics are really good. At least close up they are, but far away that stuff starts popping up pretty bad.
Did they fix out the patch?
They might have. I don't know. I haven't downloaded the patch yet, but I'm playing it on PlayStation 4.
Shouldn't be a problem then.
But what I said about the side quests in Tomb Raider, they actually spent a lot of time, I think, on the side quests in The Witcher because they're all good and they all have like interesting stories and stuff. That and it fits in with the main character Geralt's his job because he's a Witcher. What he does is hunt monsters. That's what they're there for. So it feels like you're just kind of playing as him to do the side quests. It feels natural.
Okay. So you're like traveling the countryside doing jobs.
Yeah. Oh, well, there's another main quest going on, too, that has an interesting story as well. It's like Skyrim, except if there was a story or interesting characters.
Hey, there's some interesting characters in Skyrim.
I can't think of any.
Cicero.
I don't even know who that is.
He was a part of the Dark Brotherhood.
I never played the Dark Brotherhood quest.
Oh,
I just didn't care for Skyrim.
I like Skyrim.
Everything is so bland and...
Oh, I know how to fix that. The Macho Man Randy Savage Dragon mod.
Or the Thomas the Tank Engine mod.
Yeah. It turns all of the dragons into Macho Man Randy Savages.
With
all
sound.
The dragon roars are Randy Savage quotes.
That does sound better.
Jim, and then he breathes fire. And then, like, they modded the head. It's like they took a wrestling, like, model from, like, WWE 2015 or whatever and stretched it over the dragon. So he had these really long arms, like, long neck, and the beard with the cowboy hat and the glasses just flying through the air.
Oh, yeah! I've seen the videos of that. It's freaking hilarious.
Oh, it's great, yeah.
But the Witcher's managed to grab me in a way that, like, Dragon Age or Skyrim didn't. I don't know, just because it has more competent writing, I think. But I like it a lot. I don't know what else to say about it.
You should play the other two.
Yeah, I've makes me want to go back and actually finish the other two. Yeah.
Now, was this based on like a book series or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, was it?
Yep. There's Witcher books before there was a game.
Hmm.
I know the first two doesn't really follow the books hardly at all because he loses his memory at the very beginning,
you know,
to kind of conveniently make it seemingly non-canon. But he gets his memory back, I think, in the second one, and it starts following the books a little better.
Hmm.
But I recommend it.
Okay, well, I haven't been doing too much, so I'll just talk about a show I've been watching, iZombie. It's on CW, right?
Yep.
We tend to watch it on Hulu, but...
Yeah, I think we've mentioned it once or twice here. We haven't really gone way deep into it.
But did it just have its season finale, or is it
No, it's still going.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
Started.
It's got to be close, though. There's been a lot of episodes.
And it seems like it's headed towards the end of the season. Just, it's still a really, really good show, but it's just been getting kind of weird, because Major's, like, slowly going nuts trying to figure out what the heck's going on, because he's probably... Yeah.
He's like right on the edge of the whole zombie mystery.
Okay, now do we want to like explain the show premise a little bit so for the listeners?
No.
Oh, okay.
Nah, she's a zombie because of drugs and
yeah. Yeah, she was at a party on a boat and got scratched by a zombie, and now she's a zombie who helps solve crimes by eating people's brains and getting their memories.
Yeah, she works on a morgue to get access to brains.
Yeah.
Right, and she's not like the shambling, like falling apart zombie. These are like, you know, basically just people.
Yeah,
she's pale. And
yeah,
that's about it.
Was the other zombie like that too, or was he more bestial?
No, they were both the same.
Hmm.
Everyone is beautiful in that show. Like, it's ridiculous. Everyone is gorgeous. But anyway,
well, it's the CW.
Yeah.
But. And he's slowly getting together, and it's just like, just tell him.
Who's Major?
Her love interest, kind of? It's her ex-fiancé. She broke up with after she became a zombie because she thought he would freak.
Or, like, she would hurt him.
Yeah, I guess so. But it's like, it would solve a lot of problems if you could just tell him.
Wow, this sounds really familiar, like The Flash. It would solve a lot of problems if you just tell the main love interest what is going on.
All of Arrow's love interests know who he is.
Everybody does.
Yes, at this point, everybody knows who he is.
Like, Major has checked himself into a mental hospital because he thinks he might be going crazy.
Just tell him.
Yeah.
At this point, I think he would believe you and be glad to know.
Because one of the bad guy zombies broke into his house to attack him for reasons.
Because he was slowly figuring it out.
Yeah, and he shoots him. Yeah, in the chest, like, three times, and then the guy disappears.
Like, disappears?
Oh, no, he went to go get the police because he killed a guy.
Ah, okay.
And then he was gone.
Yeah, when he came back, he was gone.
He wasn't like vampire mist disappearing.
Right.
The police is like,
Yeah, telling him, you know, you need to maybe chill out a little bit.
Bodies just don't disappear.
It's a great show, though.
Oh, yeah, I recommend it.
I never did read the comics.
I started to, actually. I bought the trade the other day. It's a lot different, but
yeah,
it's still good.
Yeah. This the CW series is like almost in name only iZombie. I mean, it takes the basic premise, but that's
you don't say.
It.
Yeah.
Anything else we could say about it? I don't know.
Not really.
Like I said, it's just a good show.
Yeah.
It's not amazing.
Well, it's CW.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's better than a lot of shows that are on TV. I've also been playing the,
Cody plays video games?
Yeah. Puzzle and Dragons Super Mario Brothers edition that came out last week.
Oh yeah, is that any good?
I like it. I mean, it's Puzzle and Dragons with Mario stuff in it, but I like Mario stuff. And it's surprisingly challenging.
Really?
Like, I'm in the third world and it's already ramped up its difficulty quite a bit.
Huh.
You haven't done it? Grind, kind of.
Yeah.
Grinding in a puzzle game.
Wow. Yes.
Think about that.
That's awful. I don't think I want to play that.
It's not awful. I mean, it's just more puzzles to do. Like, it's not like it's the same puzzle over and over again. You're matching orbs, like, just a fun time killer.
Yeah. Now, do you think this is something that might show up on when Nintendo starts their
mobile campaign.
Mobile campaign, not this game exactly, but like things that are kind of like this.
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah,
I could see it happening.
Yoshi's Cookie coming back.
Oh God, I hope so.
Oh man,
I love Yoshi's Cookie. A lot better than freaking Dr. Mario.
Oh my God! Yeah, I've been playing a lot of that too.
Yeah, practicing for the Nintendo World Championships that we're going to.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, spoiler, people. This week, or
today,
today, the 30th, is the Nintendo World Championships. The first one they've done since 1990.
Yeah, it's 25 years, and they're holding open like tryouts and like 8 locations across the country, and we are making
a road trip.
The dumb decision to drive out to one of them.
Yeah, the 6-hour road trip.
Yeah.
Hey, but yeah, at least we'll be in good company. This guy.
But yeah, no, it should be fun. I hope we get out there with enough time to like get registered.
Yeah, and actually be a part of it.
Yeah, because each location is only registering like 750 people.
It's Best Buy.
No, and they're Best Buys. Yeah, we're gonna drive to a Best Buy in the middle of nowhere.
It's a suburb of Chicago.
Yeah, it's gonna be a trip.
I just wish I wish there would have been a Marion location.
An Ohio.
An Ohio location.
Or somewhere that's not 2 states over.
Yeah.
Even Indianapolis would have been better.
That would have been, yeah, yeah. But, you know.
C'est la vie.
Yeah. Sailor V.
Yes!
And even if we can't get in, we can go to that Pac-Man themed bowling alley restaurant arcade, that level 257.
Oh, yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, it's right in that same area, so.
That would be cool. All right, we're starting to ramble a little bit, so why don't we go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about some news. Yeah.
Nerd Overload is brought to you in part by Replays, Gameware, Movies, and More. Replays is a place for all your gaming needs, from retro up through current-gen systems and accessories. They even have a free customer rewards program. Mount Vernon Avenue, Marion, across from the Marion Plaza. 751-4072 or online at facebook.com/replaysmarion.
Nerd Overload is sponsored in part by Creative Foundations.
Hi, my name is Robert.
Hi, my name is Amber.
Hi, my name is Jessica.
I'm Jimmy, and I work at Creative Foundations,
the store that employs people with developmental disabilities.
We have 4 locations:
Delaware, Mount Vernon, Marysville, and Urbana.
Our website is creativefoundations.org.
Find us on Facebook.
All right, we are back. That was the theme song to Johnny Quest and Stop the Pigeon by Reverend Horton Heat. I really like that cover.
Yeah, it's a great cover.
Yeah.
That whole album, it's from the Saturday Morning album, has a bunch of great covers
on it. Really good stuff
like,
on it. Yeah.
Look that up. It's a good album.
Definitely, definitely. But since we're all talking about remaking old cartoons and stuff, they announced the other day that there's going to be a Johnny Quest live-action movie.
Directed by Robert Rodriguez,
yeah,
and
yeah,
Spy
yeah.
Kids and Mariachi and
other violent things.
Other, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, I think he's a good fit for it. I mean, he hasn't made a good movie in a while, but...
But you know what? His kids' movies usually turn out pretty well.
Yeah.
I mean, at least the first 2 Spy Kids movies were...
Yeah, they're fantastic movies, yeah.
And Machete is a character in it. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah, like...
He is?
Yeah.
Danny Trejo's character's name is Machete.
Yeah, it's the same Machete.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Machete.
Yeah. He doesn't text, but apparently he watches after kids. But anyway, I think this is a good fit for Johnny Quest. I mean,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, I can see it.
Yeah. You need high action. You need kind of ridiculous stuff. And, yeah, again.
Yeah, I think he'll get it. I think a lot of directors that you would give this to wouldn't get it.
Right.
But I think he will get it.
Yeah, with the wrong director, you'd end up like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie all over again, or the Transformer movie all over again. But with Rodriguez, yeah.
I didn't really watch a lot of classic Johnny Quest. I mostly watched the real adventures of Johnny Quest in the 90s.
Oh, the one with the part CGI?
It's Quest World.
Yeah.
I loved that show. I became a fan of Johnny Quest when it was repeated on Cartoon Network when I was a kid, and I learned about the real adventures of Johnny Quest coming out. I got like super stoked about it and like watched it when it premiered and
I'll be honest, I was never a big, huge fan of Johnny Quest up until they started spoofing him on stuff like Venture Brothers and like Harvey Birdman, and that kind of got me to go back and kind of watch the originals. And you know what? I dig them now.
It's a great kids' action show.
It is,
that,
yeah.
That doesn't speak down to kids. Like, it, serious stuff happens.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's got like that kind of Adventures of Tintin.
Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
Less French.
Yeah. Less French.
It's based on like pulp stories from the 40s.
Mm-hmm. I love pulp. I really do. Some of my favorite comic heroes are pulp characters.
I think if it hits a lot of the beats that the Wachowski Speed Racer movie
hit, I think it
would be really good.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. That would have been my choice, actually, to direct a Johnny Quest movie than the Wachowskis.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Based on that Speed Racer movie.
Oh, okay. You know, I think Rodriguez is a good choice.
Yeah.
I think he'll do it well. But Speed Racer, there's a new cartoon.
Yeah. They're bringing Speed Racer back, and not just like an Americanized new, because they've done that a couple times where an American company has made a new Speed Racer. And
they're not good.
Yeah, it's lame and everybody forgets about it.
Yeah.
But this time it's actually Tatsunoko, the people who originally did it, making a new one.
Right, yeah. I'm going to let you guys in on a secret. I've seen maybe one episode of Speed Racer. That's
really?
It. Yeah.
I love Speed Racer.
Yeah, I watched the gold, like the episode where they like melted like the gold down into like a car, a supercar or something, and like were smuggling gold across the country or something like that.
Huh, I don't remember that one.
Yeah.
I have the first season on DVD.
Oh, like, really?
Yeah, I like Speed Racer a lot.
Does it have all like the serious, crazy Japanese stuff? Where like
no, it's the dubbed.
Oh, okay, so it's like people don't die and stuff.
Yeah,
like they did in the Japanese one. Oh yeah, it was really serious and dark in Japan. I mean, it was like, you know, kind of fun and actiony, but like, and much like in a lot of Japanese anime, especially from that era that got brought over America, a lot of the darker tones got cut out.
It's just silly fun in the dub, American dub version. Like,
I mostly just see people like spoofing it.
Yeah, I like Speed Racer. We'll see what happens with this.
Go Speed Racer, go!
A lot of modern anime does a lot of weird stuff that I don't like. That I wonder if will be will affect this. Like, yeah. Like I can only imagine the character redesigns and what those are going to look like. It's like, is Trixie going to be super like Moe with a poofy skirt and like just look ridiculous? Or
I feel like maybe a better time to bring it out would have been back in like the early 2000s when there was a lot of like revivals, like modern revivals of like classic style and classic animes, like from back in the day, like Astro Boy,
yeah.
Cyborg 009 was not a reimagining, but it was done in the style. And then there was the one with the robot. It's connected to Kamen Rider.
Gigantor?
No.
Kikaider?
Kikaider.
Yeah, Kikaider.
Gigantor.
Bigger than big, stronger than strong.
There's a great cover of that song on that same album.
Yeah. Thinking of that. Yeah.
I have this CD that I bought a long time ago when I first got into anime as a young kid, and it was like called like Anime Greatest Hits, and like a lot of it is like the Sailor Moon theme, the Gigantor theme, Speed Racer, mm-hmm. and just a bunch of and a bunch of theme songs not in English.
Oh, of course not. Yeah,
those were like the three English ones. But no, we'll definitely have to see what it's coming out.
Oh sure, I'll give it a shot. Why not?
I'm sure Racer X will look like a severe bad boy.
Yeah. Maybe have white hair.
Probably. Yeah.
Or only have white hair when he's Racer X.
Yeah.
This has nothing to do with anything. Have you guys been reading X-Men comics lately?
No.
Well, awesome. Okay. Cyclops' newest costume, he looks like Racer X. His ruby quartz visor is in an X over his face.
Yeah, I have
seen that.
And
when he shoots lasers, it's in the shape of an X that comes blast out of his face, but it looks like a red version of Racer X costume.
I have seen that.
Yeah.
He realized that branding was really important.
Yes.
Well, we don't have a whole lot going for us. X is on everything. We're the X-Men. There's Excalibur and X-Force.
Yep, got to lead hard into that brand, you know?
What if we called the Blackbird the X-Bird?
The X-Wing.
Yeah.
Wait.
Wait a minute.
Well, Marvel has Star Wars now.
Yeah, true. Yeah, yeah, they could do it.
Lock as foils in attack position.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? We're on comics. Might as well talk about this. So Archie is doing a new Jughead comic, right?
Yes, yes, they are.
And they have finally announced the artist for it, and it's going to be Erica Henderson, who she's been doing the Unbeatable Squirrel Girl for Marvel,
which is amazing.
Yeah, one of my favorite comics.
Yeah,
ever. Yeah. Probably. I was going to say in a long time, but then I realized no, probably ever.
Yeah, I think it's a great choice. I think her art style is just cartoony enough to capture kind of the lighter tone of a Jughead comic. And it's being written by Chip Zdarsky, who does Howard the Duck and all sorts of other
crazy stuff
that we can't talk about on
on air
on 10 a.m. radio.
Did you see Matt Fraction was on the Tonight Show?
I saw that.
Or not
yeah.
Tonight Show, Late Night.
Yeah, I saw that. And he read tips from his romantic aid comedy book, I guess we should say.
Just the tips.
Just the tips. That's what it was called, yeah. But really funny stuff.
But it's the first time I'd ever seen like a comic writer show up on a late night show. It's pretty cool.
Seth Meyers is a huge comic guy.
Huh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, for the longest time, his Twitter avatar was a sketch of him as Blue Beetle done by Jam DeMatteis from the original Justice League International run.
Okay.
Yeah, he's like a huge... I read an interview or something. That was like the first thing he did when he moved out to New York to do SNL was he found Midtown Comics and set up a pole. Like,
oh, nice.
Dropped off his books, his bags, went to the comic shop and set up a pole. Like, he's a huge... He's a huge nerd. And I've always liked Seth Meyers anyway.
Oh, yeah.
After reading that article, I was like, oh, man, I have a... even deeper, you know, appreciation for this dude.
I thought he was just BSing when he's like, oh, he's one of my favorite comic book writers, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, he's doing the...
No, it's a real thing. I'll to be honest, I'm surprised he hasn't actually written anything for us for a...
A comic?
Yeah, even as an indie book or whatever. I'm surprised he hasn't written anything yet.
He does the Awesome Show on Hulu. That's kind of superhero related.
Yeah,
I watched an episode of that and I didn't like it.
Oh, really?
I didn't think it was very good.
Yeah, well.
Maybe I should give it another shot. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, I mean, yeah. That's cool. But yeah, back to the Jughead thing. You know what? I haven't been excited for an Archie comic in a while, other than Afterlife with Archie. And even that's kind of died down because it's kind of in a holding pattern for right now. And it comes out so infrequently. It's like every 2 or 3 months they put out a new one.
Well, it's got really good art. It takes way longer to make.
Yeah, yeah.
I like Archie versus Predator.
Well, yeah. But this Jughead looks good. I think it's going to be a little more subversive and a little more sly with their jokes. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like background. Because Zdarsky, he does Howard the Duck, and he puts background jokes into everything. Like adult humor background jokes. And I'm looking forward to seeing that show up in Jughead, I think.
Well, like in that Archie Predator that I read, Jughead made a couple really sly jokes that were pretty good.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But no, it's interesting.
I'm excited.
I'll probably put it on my pull list, to be honest with you.
It's good times.
Yeah. Well, do we want to keep on the comic book superhero type news, or do we want to veer off from that?
Let's go ahead and do that. We'll talk about Suicide Squad has had a really open set.
Like a surprisingly open set.
Yeah.
It's like every day there's new photos from it.
And videos.
And videos and everything.
You think there'd be people like, you know, their job would be to stop this kind of stuff.
Yeah, they usually keep superhero movie sets on total lockdown.
Yeah, like, I
guess that's the difference between Warner Brothers and Disney Marvel.
Yeah. Although, you know, have you noticed they've been doing that with Deadpool a lot, too? There's been a lot of stuff about the Deadpool movie.
I haven't seen a whole... I've seen a little bit. And then there was that Make-A-Wish with the kid who came on set.
Yeah, yeah.
That was mostly what I've seen.
Mm, okay, because, yeah, there's been a lot of set stuff, but it seems like the Deadpool stuff has been kind of controlled, whereas this Suicide Squad stuff, they're just letting
everywhere
it all fly.
Everywhere there's open shooting, they're just there.
Yeah, it's like there's a Batmobile on set.
Supposedly
for one scene or something like that. We've basically seen, like, Harley Quinn in action during, you know, a lot of the scenes, although I've heard she's getting, like, 4 or 5 costume changes including one that's supposed to be really close to the original.
Oh, that's
ooh,
cool.
Okay.
Jester costume. At
okay.
least for a scene. But
I'm kind of hoping for her roller derby costume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the closest we're going to get to that is, I think, is the jacket.
Okay.
The one we've seen her in.
Yeah.
I think that's the closest we're going to get.
I just want to know if she's going to have the accent.
They said she has a Brooklyn accent.
That's about right.
It's close.
In the video, in the one video that I saw where her and Joker are in that parking garage or whatever,
mm-hmm.
I turned it up a lot, and you can kind of hear her talking.
Yeah.
And she did sound like she kind of had an accent.
Cool.
Well, the actress, Margot Robbie, was in that Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
And I think she had a bit of a Brooklyn accent in that, so I think they're going to try to match that a little
and maybe
bit.
And maybe kind of like tone it up just a little bit.
Yeah.
I'll watch the movie. I'm still not excited, even with a Batmobile.
I'm not either. I'm not excited for it, but yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a turn.
It's something
but
different.
I'll give it a shot.
It's something
yeah.
different.
Yeah. It's just weird to me how like not guarded they are with the
yeah,
making of this
it's
movie.
It's almost like because they've seen how much hate people have been giving it, they're trying to be as open as they can with it, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're worried that they're making a big steaming turd and that they
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
This
know?
Is true too.
That they've given up already and they're just kinda going, okay, here you go. Yeah, you want to know what this movie is here.
That's like the Transformers approach.
And how much millions and billions of dollars have they made? And how many sequels have they done?
It's your fault, America. And they're doing more.
You know? Yeah, exactly. Right. You know what?
Including a Cybertron prequel.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know
it's going to be all CG? It basically would have to be all CG.
It would have to be, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? As much as I hate the system, in this case it works. I mean, unfortunately, they're doing something right with their movies.
Now, I guess I can't really complain that much because, you know, I did give my money to see Ninja Turtles and that was a steaming
pile of crap.
Well, yeah,
I did. Yeah, that's true.
These movies are just the action movie versions of, like, Adam Sandler and Paul Blart.
Yeah.
What have we done? What have we done as a country?
Paul Blart, Transformer Cop.
Oh, man. It'd make
a giant Segway?
I was just thinking that he transforms into a Segway.
That would make a bajillion dollars.
No, he's a Mini-Con. He's a Mini-Con.
Oh, yeah.
Paul Blart, Transformer Cop.
There's no one driving that Segway! And he's a fat Transformer.
And then he trips over something.
Blartron.
Blartron.
Oh, man.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Blart.
Oh.
There's just four Blarts with different colored bandanas on.
Different ties. Different colored
ties. Different
colored
ties.
G.I. Blart.
Okay, we gotta
okay,
move on.
We gotta
to
keep going
because
we'll keep making Blart jokes
till the end of days
for the full hour.
Yeah.
Oh man, and this has been Blart jokes by the Nerd Overload.
Yeah.
Tell your friends
Blart segment.
You know, there's one other superhero thing we can get it out of the way real quick. It seems like they're going to do a Static Shock. Like web series or like a limited like TV run or something like that, and they've hinted that they've cast Jaden Smith, you know,
Will Smith's kid,
as the character.
It was in Karate Kid in that After Earth movie.
Yeah,
After Earth.
Oh, and that terrible Day the Earth Stood Still remake with Keanu Reeves. Do you remember that?
Oh, he's in that.
He's in that.
I didn't know he was
he's
in
the
that.
Kid in that.
Oh, that movie's terrible.
It is.
I love the original, and that movie was awful.
Oh, yeah, that movie was terrible.
My father-in-law is a huge Day the Earth Stood Still fan.
Oh, yeah.
He was visibly angry with that movie.
Oh, so was my dad. Yeah. But anyway, Static Shock, for those of you who don't know, there was a comic company years and years ago. It was a DC imprint called Milestone Comics, and the whole deal was, at the time, DC was putting out all, you know, white, middle-aged dude superheroes. And Milestone was, you know, led by a guy named Dwayne McDuffie, African-American writer. And they created a bunch of books with different diverse, you know, characters. Static Shock was one of the main ones, a teenager who got electricity powers. And it actually made a big crossover into cartoons. There was a cartoon series for years.
I watched it.
Years. I watched it a lot.
It seemed like it was a pretty popular show.
I liked it. And the Bruce Timm Justice League.
They crossed. Yeah, they tied it in.
And then Static Shock, the character, crossed over into that.
Right. Right. Anyways, DC eventually absorbed Milestone, and the characters bounce, pop up every now and then. Actually, Static Shock was one of the release titles for the New 52. It was actually It was also one of the first ones to get canceled because no one read it.
He was a member of the Titans there for a little bit.
He was. But yeah, they're doing a web series or something with Jaden Smith. What do you guys think of that?
Okay, I'm 2 point on this. Jaden Smith is not a good actor.
No,
he's not his dad.
No, as much as he'd like to be.
Yeah, I mean he's not. He's awful in everything I've ever seen him in,
mm-hmm.
and apparently things I didn't even realize he was in. But I like the fact of having representation, especially within the DC Warner Brothers globe of where they don't have a lot of representation.
Oh,
right
sure.
Now.
Oh, sure. Well, you know, that's the problem with comic company, the big two comic companies anyways, going back to like the original, there was a big push a few years ago to get all their main characters back to like the original versions. That's why you see Barry Allen instead of Wally West and thing. That's why you see Hal Jordan instead of, Kyle Rayner, who Kyle Rayner is an actual minority character. He is Latino.
Is he?
The artists don't draw him like that, but yes, he is Irish and Latino. Hmm. So he is technically a minority character. They did it for the sake of, getting back all their classic characters that everyone loves. The problem is all those characters were created in the 40s and 50s. They're all white dudes. So it can be kind of looked at as like they're whitewashing their lines. And Marvel kind of did this a little bit as well, although not to the extent DC did.
But also Marvel's been bouncing back better.
That's true. Now that these characters are being put into movies, all of a sudden you're seeing, the Avengers. Look at the Avengers. It's all white dudes.
Mostly white dudes.
White dudes. Look at Justice League. With the exception of Cyborg, who, they had to kind of shoehorn in.
Yeah, because he's a member of the Justice League in the New 52.
In the New 52, but not originally. He was a Teen Titan.
Yeah.
All white dudes. So we need stuff like this to kind of broaden,
Oh, yeah. And that's what I want. I just want better people to play that character.
Yeah. Although, who would you cast?
A young African-American actor?
Yeah.
Mostly anybody I can think of is probably a little too old.
It'd have to be someone who would play basically Peter Parker age. Basically like 14, 15, 16 years old.
Donald Glover.
He's too old, though.
Yeah.
That's who I was going to say, he's too old.
Still do. He was going to play, he wasn't going to play Spider-Man, but people wanted him to play Spider-Man.
Yeah, well, sure.
I did recently watch the Ultimate Spider-Man Disney cartoon, or Disney XD series, and I got to the Spider-Verse four-parter, and Donald Glover was the voice of Miles, and it was great.
Yeah, that is cool.
But I'm...
Because this... The reason why I ask is because Static Shock, while he's known to comic fans and, cartoon fans of the, early 2000s, no one knows who he is, so they need to attach a name to it.
And I get that. I feel like maybe they could, fish the pool a little bit and maybe find somebody who's not as well known. Because it's worked out in the past.
But you see, they have two things going against it. They have a character that they don't really know, and it's a web series, not a movie or a terrestrial television show.
I guess.
So you got two things against you. You got to have a name, and unfortunately, Jaden Smith is a name, whether we like him to be or not.
Maybe he'll be good. Don't know. Yeah. Maybe this is it.
maybe he learned from his After Earth mistakes.
Well, you know what he is? He must be a fan. He practically wears his Batman costume everywhere these days. Did you hear about that? He went to his high school prom in a white Batman suit. Like costume, like with the mask and cape and everything. Batman.
Well, when your dad's Will Smith, I guess you can do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a shame that Will Smith's kid has turned out this way, because he seems like a normal guy.
Yeah.
Will Smith does. He seemed like a normal... I've never met the man, but...
And I've loved Will Smith.
But, he was West Philadelphia, born and raised on the playground, where he spent most of his days. You'd think his kids would be a little more grounded.
Who knows? Maybe he just does it because he is such a public figure and he doesn't care.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I blame his time in Bel Air.
do you remember some of those outfits the Fresh Prince wore?
Sure.
Those
are the 90s.
Yeah, which is
everyone dressed like idiots in the 90s.
The early 90s, the leftovers from the late 80s, where everything was a, oh my God, I remember the shirt I had. It was like, it had such bright teals and dark blues all on the same shirt. It was awful.
Oh,
I
man,
hated that
thermal,
thing.
The thermal stuff where you like put the handprint.
Oh, yeah.
I forget what that stuff was called.
Oh, what yeah. were those called?
Isn't Marty McFly's future hat made of that?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Anyway.
It's okay. We were like five when,
I know.
When these things were popular, so, you know.
Hypercolor.
Hypercolor, that's it. Yeah, that's it. That's
starter
it.
Starter jackets. People stabbing each other for their starter
jackets.
I remember
when I had to have a starter jacket when I was in, like, elementary school.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't, you know, I didn't like sports. I didn't like basketball, but I had a Lakers starter jacket.
Nice, nice.
I think I had either an Ohio State one or a Chicago Bulls. I really don't remember. But I do remember when I was younger, we went school shopping once, and I came out of there with a full Phoenix Suns set. Because I was a huge Charles Barkley fan.
All right.
Like behind Michael Jordan, it was Charles Barkley. And
I
would have
killed for the Bulls one, but
I know.
The Lakers,
people did.
The Lakers one was the cheapest one they had at the Burlington Coat Factory. Because so
back
got
in the day,
one.
The Lakers weren't jacked.
I can't remember, but I think I had a Browns starter jacket. I really backed the wrong horse there.
Yeah, you're the reason they left there that one year.
Yeah.
Sports jokes.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like I said, I like representation, and maybe Jaden Smith will pull it out. You know,
maybe,
hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, if they're you know, goal is to portray Static Shock as a aloof weirdo, then you know, nailed it.
There was in that animated series, there, like almost all the characters were some kind of person of color, except for his sidekick.
Again, that was the Milestone Comics. That was their thing.
It was fun, though. I liked it.
Oh, yeah. I think it was. Yeah, it was great. And the Static Shock cartoon was really good as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really did enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, I think we have one more news thing before we get out of here. This is a games thing, kind of.
Sort of.
And the theft thing.
And a theft thing, yeah. This is actually, like, close to real, actual news, not just us rambling about other stuff. Amiibos are a big deal. The little plastic, you know,
Nintendo figures.
Figures that have game connectivity. They're huge. We all own them. Do you, Josh?
Nope.
No?
I don't.
Three quarters of us own them in this room. They're a big deal. And actually, this yesterday, Friday, they... the newest wave of new figures came out, but some folks over in the UK are not going to be getting theirs because
the truck got stolen.
Yeah, someone stole an entire truck full of these Splatoon variant ones, I believe.
Excuse me, the lorry, as
the
they
lorry,
would call it.
Yes, the lorry.
I mean, it wasn't just Splatoon. I mean, it had the Wave 4 stuff in it too, didn't
no,
it?
No, it was just the Splatoon ones.
Oh,
and it affected pre-orders for at the UK version of GameStop. This is called Game.
Just called Game, yeah.
Yeah, their people's pre-orders had to get like they replaced them with something else. I think they got the game instead of getting the game and the Amiibo pack. They got the game and their choice of the boy squid or girl squid, and then a discount. I think it's how it works.
A $10 discount, and yeah, something like that. Yeah,
wow, that's rough.
Yeah,
yeah. Now, I knew these things were big, you know, but I didn't think they were so huge that people would like start stealing them and stuff.
It sounds like a ridiculous scheme.
Well,
yeah.
Possibly what it probably was is maybe they knew this truck was bound for games, and maybe thought video games were going to be on it. And not necessarily specifically Amiibos.
I don't know. It's weird that they would target this one specific truck instead of, you know, the ones that did have games on. Because, I mean, it is a release day. I mean, if they're going to steal games, they should have, you know...
Went on a Tuesday?
Taken a couple of trucks and tried to get the Amiibo packs with the Wii U's in them. Because they're going to be putting those out Friday as well.
Well, I think those are... Best Buy special editions, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just weird because you know what the Amiibo thing has the whole collective thing kind of equates to the old Beanie Baby thing from you know like 10, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, people are going nuts over it, and I don't think I've ever heard anyone like stories of people like trucks of Beanie Babies being stolen.
I'll bet it happened.
Although, yeah, I guess, yeah. We weren't as connected then, I suppose.
Yeah.
This is true.
Yeah, but I mean, can you think of anything else that has gotten so huge, like so, like a collectible that's gotten so huge that, you know, people have gone to this extreme to get them, I guess?
Not in a long time. Just Beanie Babies were the last collectible that was this big, I think.
I remember seeing a picture of a couple in court, they're getting a divorce, and they
and they just separate their Beanie Babies.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's so funny.
Well, hey, Beanie Babies, you know, that was a big, like, you know...
Yeah, for a
big
hot
business,
minute.
You know,
my parents were really into getting them for some reason.
So there was a store on 309 that was specifically sold Beanie Babies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, and then it was a Pokemon store for a little bit.
And now it's a gun store.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But
my dad has a big old box just full of Beanie Babies from that time sitting on his porch now, and they're worthless.
At the time, you know, you thought you were going to send your kids through college.
I wouldn't say all of them are worthless. The Princess Diana one is still worth a lot of money.
Well, sure. You know, the niche collectible ones, sure.
Yeah.
It's also got all the KFC Pokemon Beanie Babies.
Oh, wow.
Which I thought would be worth something, but then I looked at
it.
I remember
it was so big. My mom would go to McDonald's every day on her lunch to try to get when the Beanie Baby waves came out.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she would try she was getting them for my sister every single one.
Oh, sure.
I didn't even get that kind of, like... I remember when the Star Wars watches came out of Burger King, and I went all over town trying to find Boba Fett.
Boba Fett?
I know, right? I eventually found it.
Yeah, nice. But yeah, I mean, I remember, yeah, my mom was way into the Beanie Babies. I think we still have a whole bunch of them, although I think they've been relegated to, like, the pile in the basement that's for garage sale.
My sister has a net... in her room at my dad's house, and it's full of various plush animals, mm-hmm. and so many Beanie Babies, like hundreds, and they're all dusty and not taken care of.
And you know what? In 5 years, that's going to be Amiibos. You're going to be able to find them.
Oh yeah,
it's going to
be like, oh,
everywhere.
Yeah, these stupid plastic Nintendo garbage. Well, I was collecting plastic Nintendo garbage before they called it Amiibos.
This is true.
I mean, I don't know. It's Skylanders kind of started it all.
Yeah.
And it's only grown because, you know, you got Disney Infinity, and with Disney Infinity 3.0 coming out with the Star Wars stuff.
I think Skylanders is going to start having a tough time because they don't have a license now.
Yeah, they're not immediately recognizable.
Yeah,
no, it's very singular. This is the Skylanders universe.
Yeah. You tell a kid, do you want Mario? Do you want, you know, Batman? From the Lego Dimensions.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want Star Wars, or do you want this weird dragon?
It's not even that cool looking.
Yeah.
Also, the Skylanders, they're not really well made.
No. They look...
Cheap.
Cheap, and all their designs are boring or ugly.
Yeah.
Very. Like, the one character I care about, Spyro, looks like junk. Every single Spyro they've ever made looks like junk.
Yeah. There's, like... one in every five or six Skylanders looks kind of cool.
But I don't play the game, and I never will.
Yeah. It's just not worth the initial investment
to
me. Like, if I could get the game for...
But also, we don't have kids.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, true.
But unlike, you know, the other stuff where, like, the Disney Infinity figures all really... They're, like, a really cool design, and you have a huge inventory of characters to choose from.
And they're backwards compatible.
Yes.
That's the thing, because a lot of the Skylanders are not.
Yes.
Like you have to have the latest portal for them to work. You can use the old ones on the new portals, but you can't use all the characters on the old portal.
Right.
So you have to buy a new portal.
Yeah, every year you got to drop another
$80. Yeah, that's crazy.
And with Infinity, it's the same portal in every game, but you have to buy a new disc.
And that's a little more palatable, I think.
Yes.
Or Amiibos, you don't have to buy anything because it's all built into the console.
Yeah, right.
Except for mine.
Well,
yeah, except for the original DS. Yeah, yeah 3DS.
My 3DS, yes. Though my 3DS, since I updated the OS, does have an Amiibo, like, part of the menu I can go into and, like, erase my Amiibo information and stuff. Like, you don't even support Amiibos, you stupid machine.
They're going to have a plug-in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyways, I think we're over on time, so we gotta wrap up here. Again, you've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can check us out on Facebook at Nerd Overload website.
You can peep us on Twitter at @nerd_overload. Is that what it is?
That is it.
That is what it is.
You're the Twitter guy, man. Jeez.
How did I become the Twitter guy?
It just always was.
Okay.
And
you can email us questions or comments at staff@nerdoverload.com. And you need to get those donuts.
Yeah.
Seriously.
This is the last time we're gonna advertise it. This is your last chance. If you send us an email with a comment or question, first one that does it is going to get a dozen donuts from Andrew's Pastry.
Come on. They're really, really
Seriously,
good.
Open up your Gmail. Type staff@nerdoverload.com into the address and type in the subject field or the body of the document, whatever you want.
Yeah.
Hit send and you get free donuts. I mean, I don't know how.
This is your last chance.
Yeah.
After tonight, we're not going to advertise this again.
We can't make it any easier.
Yeah. If you don't want these donuts, we'll eat these donuts. I mean, they're just sitting here. Well, they're not sitting here, but the coupons are sitting here. So, come on. Get in on this. Anyway, thanks again for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
With news from the Nintendo World Championships.
Yes.
This show was sponsored in part by Replays, Gameware, Movies, and More, and Creative Foundations.